Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning. You guys ready to get back in a routine? I had a number of college students, CIU students, walk up to me and say, "Dr. Smith, I love the vacation time, but I'm ready to get back in a routine." I was there, okay? We had a break. That was nice, but I think God created us for purpose, and I think work and having purpose in life is a key component of us moving forward and having success in life, and so it's exciting to be here. Exciting to see all of you. Thanks for coming back. You didn't leave after the first semester. That's really nice. I appreciate you doing that. So it's a good thing. I first of all, want to recognize a couple of people who are here this morning. Always good to have Dr. Mary. We're glad to have you this morning, Dr. Mary, and we welcome you this morning. Don't tell anyone I said so, but you're one of the best preachers I've heard since I've been here. So that's a Don't tell anyone else, but that's a good thing. So I love to hear you preach. Good job. Also, we have a board member here this morning, Hans Finzel. We're glad to have Dr. Hans Finzel with us. So I have to watch what I say this morning, you know? But the real boss is here this morning. You guys know who the real boss is? Those of you who are married, do you know who the real boss is? No, it's not my wife. My almost 90-year-old mother-in-law is here for the first time in chapel, and Debbie, help Mom stand. We have to get her. No, just let her be recognized. Point her out so they know. This is Virginia Irvin. And when you have been married 31 years and your mother-in-law still comes to hear you preach, you have accomplished in life. Mom, we love you. And she's staying with us for a few months, and we're glad to have you. And one of the kindest, sweetest people you will ever meet in life, I promise you. And my wife took after her the same way. So I'm blessed doubly this morning to have both of them here. Great. I wanted to take a few moments this morning and talk about something that I have lived in my life, something I believe in strongly, and it's a core value of what CIU is all about. This whole idea of victorious Christian living is something that, as a young Bible college student in Florida, where I went to Bible college, Hope Sound Bible College, I learned that you can live a victorious Christian life. In fact, a passage in Psalms 119 became one of my favorite passages. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to your word or thy word. I memorized it back in those days in the King James Version, okay? And that passage was used over and over and over again in my life. When I was being tempted towards sin, willful transgression of God's law, in this case, and I knew that I shouldn't do, God would bring the power of the word, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways. And I would sense the power of the word and the power of the Spirit speaking to me, and I would be victorious over that temptation. You see, students, I do not believe that you have to live a defeated life. I would love for you to have been with me this weekend. I was at home. I had an allergic reaction to some medication that I was given. And so for about 24 hours, I was literally in bed. I wasn't able to function. I was weak. I didn't realize at the time I was having an allergic reaction, but when all kinds of red welts begin to come across your body. My wife and I suddenly realized, hey, I'm having a reaction to some medication that the doctor had put on me, and it made me so weak, I was unable to get out of the bed. I went to church Sunday morning. I don't like to miss church. I went to church Sunday morning. By the way, that's a good thing for all of you and your generation, in an online generation. I went to church Sunday morning, okay? Just a little instruction from your pastor president this morning, okay? I went to church on Sunday morning. Are you about to get it? Okay. I went to church on Sunday morning. I then came home, and from then, the next, basically from 1 o'clock on, my brother-in-law was over, sister-in-law was over, I just started feeling off when I was in bed. And so you would have found me pulling up my laptop and listening to Dr. McQuilkin's message on surrender, taking notes, listening multiple times to the sermon. And I loved Dr. McQuilkin's message on surrender, which he said the only way to have a victorious life is to surrender. It's a beautiful message. You should go. I think it was spoken in 2012, if I remember correctly. And that led me in my mind to a passage of Scripture that I wanted to share with you this morning. That's one of my favorite passages for multiple reasons. Blessed, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I want to ask you a question this morning, students. How much of God do you want? You can have as much of God as you desire in your life. I've got an illustration. We've become known as Krispy Kreme University, haven't we? Now that we have the chairman of the board, former chairman on our board of trustees, Jim's on our board, adding a lot to our board. But long before Jim, and I knew Jim, let me tell you a story about Krispy Kreme. And by the way, these donuts are fresh, and I have 5 dozen, and I'll hand them out at the end to some select folks that I'll pick out. So get ready. You get your mouth salivating. Okay, they're here, and they'll be ready. They're glazed. The hot, now fresh glazed donuts. Okay, that's what we have. Let me tell you a little story. And so I wrote it out just so I could portray it the way I accurately wanted to. One of the highlights of my teenage years were the days in high school when my dad used to go on a sales trip to the Winston-Salem, North Carolina area. That's home for me. Galax, Virginia, down to Winston-Salem. I had good grades, and I worked hard. And one of my rewards was Dad would say about once a semester or once in the fall, once in the spring, he'd say, come on, son, go with me on a sales call. Let's visit the furniture stores. My dad worked at Dixon Lumber Company, and they provided all the parts for the bedroom furniture that you see built. Vaughn Bassett, Vaughn, Broyhill, Singer, some of the major manufacturers, if you know anything about furniture. My dad sold the parts, the bed parts, the posts, the headboards, those types of things. That's what they sold. Dad worked his entire life in the furniture industry. Down to earth, great guy. Loved God, prayed every morning, set an example, and he would take me in my high school years on this sales call. So we would get into the car, we would leave the picturesque Appalachian Mountains, we'd head down Route 89 through the red clay tobacco fields of North Carolina, and after about an hour, we would end up at our very first stop. Now, the first stop was never a furniture plant. It was not a sales call. The first stop, and I confirmed this with Jim, was the original Krispy Kreme donut shop. I can take you to it off of Stratford Road in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. They're still open. They still serve hot now. I love to go there even to this day. And Dad would look at me as my mouth had salivated for an hour going down the road, because I knew what was coming. And he would say something like this. He knew I was lifting weights at the time. He knew I was playing sports. He knew I was on the farm lifting hay bales, and I was very active and physical at that time. He looked at me and he'd say something like this: "Boy, the donuts are hot. You can have as many as you want." And so after the first dozen, and I'm not joking, when they're hot now, when you're 17 years old, these, when you put them in your mouth, you know, they just dissolve. You don't even know you've eaten one. So I would go and I would say, "Dad, do you think I could have another?" And that day, no matter what happened, Dad would buy as many donuts as I wanted. I was thinking of that illustration, and it reminded me of the spiritual journey that we are on. The last few years of my life, I've thought of all the sermons that I've heard. I had it up one time, it's up into the about 10,000, 12,000 sermons that I've heard, I think, in my lifetime. I've heard them talk about relationship. I've heard them talk about how we are to behave as Christians. In fact, in my early years, it was all about behavior. Most of the gospel was about behavior in my early years. And I began to look through and study the scripture, and there's a beautiful theme that runs throughout the scripture. And that theme is this: you can have as much of God as you want. And God is the one that satisfies our hearts. In fact, the psalmist says to us that the good things of God in Psalms 107, verse 9, he satisfies the longing soul and he fills the hungry heart. Jesus discusses in the Sermon on the Mount how that we are blessed if we hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Apostle Paul refers over and over to all the good things of God, all that is in Christ. The Apostle Peter talks about the sincere milk of the Word. If you look at that and study it, it's the pure, unadulterated milk of the Word that we are to bring into our lives. And I begin to see in my life as a young man that I was hungry for God. Are you hungry this morning? I know it's lunchtime soon. I'm the only thing between you and lunch. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. Are you hungry for all of God? So I want to take just a few moments with you this morning. And I want to look at three things in your life that will bring all of God to your life, that will spur victorious Christian living. And I'm going to be simple this morning, because I think simple is where we need to be. In fact, the word that the Ad Council has adopted this year, our President's Council has adopted, the word on this campus that we've adopted is this word, simplify. That's going to be our theme word for us as an administrative cabinet. That means that I want the administrative cabinet this year working on anything we can do to simplify processes, procedures, systems, to make it so simple. How did you like having books delivered to your dorm rooms? Do you like that? Simplify. Don't want you standing in lines. Put the books on the bed for you. Pretty cool, huh? What if you didn't have to stand in line to pay something or to go through a process of registration or whatever? Just how do we simplify? That's going to be our word this year. Well, this is going to be a simple sermon this morning, so let's start out. First of all, victorious Christian living, being filled with all of God, begins with salvation. Salvation is the gift of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Every one of us could quote that, but do we have Jesus in our hearts this morning? Has he made us a new creation in Christ Jesus? The gift of salvation, have you accepted that? We just came through the holiday season. Christmas is my favorite time of year. I live for it. I say to my wife, when Halloween's over, it's Christmas time. November 1st, I want her to put the Christmas stuff up. I'll go out and help her. I love Christmas. I love Christmas because of all the gifts that we get to give out. It's not about me getting gifts. I love to give gifts. That's part of my nature and who I am. I just love to give things. But this gift of salvation is the most beautiful gift that has ever been extended to you. Have you accepted that gift? Now, in salvation, there's some things we need to understand. First of all, God is reaching for you. If you want all of God, God's already reaching for you. Scripture in John 12, 32 says, And I, when lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself, or people to myself. John 6, 44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent draws me. God is wanting a relationship with you. This gift of salvation is being given to you. You need to accept this gift. But secondly, in this whole idea of salvation, God is not only reaching for you, God is redeeming you. What is redemption? The simple definition that many people like to use is the action of being saved. Oh, there's so much more depth to redemption than that. One definition I looked up said the payment of a price to recover from the power of another. But I began to look at the original language on the word redemption and do just a little word study as I was preparing for you, and something stood out to me. There are three words that are associated with redemption that I want you to remember this morning. First of all, redemption is associated with an extravagant price. Redemption usually means I have to pay many times extravagantly to get something back. It was originally a word that was associated with slaves. When the owner would have to pay an extravagant price to pay someone, or someone who was trying to free slaves, where they would pay someone so that that person might have freedom. A second word associated with this word redemption is the word recovery. It not only is associated with extravagant pricing, but it's associated with recovery. You are recovering something. A precious metal or a precious ring or you're recovering something that you value very highly. You are going and purchasing back that. And redemption is associated with freedom. Three words, if you look and begin to study this word redemption, where you'll see price, recovery, and freedom. If you take further, and I don't have time this morning, and study those words, you begin to get a picture of how precious you are to God, how much God cared for you. How much did he care? He cared enough that his only begotten son was given as a price for you so that you might be free. That's the beautiful plan of salvation. I have two boys. Micah and I, now that Doug's gone, Micah and I spend quite a bit of time together. I bring him to school every morning. That little guy, I just love being with him. I love being with my other son when he was at home, Doug. But Micah now, it's my time with Micah. And just to spend time, he smiles, all the time walking up, Dad, I love you. I don't know how many times a day the little guy walks up just, Dad, I love you. Just put his arms around me, Dad, I love you. To even think of giving him up to purchase one of you and your freedom, that would take everything within me. But God, in his infinite mercy, says, I love you so much that the most precious thing I have is this gift of my son who will shed his blood
and die on a cross so that you might be free. You might be bought back. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the Scripture says in Ephesians 1:7, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. 1 Timothy 2:6 says, who gave Himself a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. Jesus Christ gave everything, or God gave everything in His Son Jesus Christ for you this morning. How can you resist such a gift? You say, Dr. Smith, what's it mean to get all of God? I want to start here, because here's what I find on college campuses. There are students who are here who don't know Jesus. Oh, you signed the form to get into CIU, but you don't know Jesus. He's not your Savior. And my simple plea as we begin this semester is this, that every one of you will begin to experience a living, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ, and that the power of the Holy Spirit will begin to live in you and through you so that you can begin this journey of living a victorious Christian life. Do you know Jesus? My discussions morning after morning with my 13-year-old is, Micah, Micah, Daddy wants you to know Jesus. I know you want to play soccer, Micah. This little kid's there. He's like, Dad, how do I get ready for soccer season at Ben Lippin? I said, well, you need to get your core developed. I coached basketball and helped out with some football and coached a little baseball. Did some things like that, but you want to know soccer? I can tell you this. I met with a major league guy who plays, and Micah and I listened, and he said, get the core. So Micah goes in, and here's what Micah does every day. He's up to 150 push-ups, 150 sit-ups every day. He's doing crunches. Here's a little 13-year-old. I don't tell him to do it. He's just like, I want to be ready for soccer season. I got to get the core ready. I want to get my speed up. I want to be able to turn effectively. I want to turn my hips the right way. I've got to do these crunches. Or there are these little against the wall. Yeah, thank you. I need to do all these things. He squats against the wall. He's getting built up. He's ready for this. And he talks about soccer, and he wants to go see this soccer. And Columbus Crew are coming down to Charleston, and he's already got the dates figured out. And, hey, man, this guy loves soccer. And I look at him and say, Micah, Daddy's going to invest in you. I got him a little personal trainer. He works out 2 days a week. Some guy that played Major League Soccer is working out with him 2 days a week. Make him what he wants to be in soccer. I want to make his dreams come true. But here's what I say. Soccer's secondary. I want you to know Jesus. CIU students, if you leave here and just know about Jesus and know the Bible, and Jesus isn't living in you, we have not done our jobs, and you have not accepted the gift that God gave. Secondly, well, let me say this, first of all. There's three things, and I don't have time to go into it enough, but let me give you this. What is saving faith? Saving faith is you're saved by grace through faith. We know that. But did you know even the devil and the imps of hell believe in Jesus? Let me give you what Dr. McQuilkin reminded me of. I remember this from Bible college, and here I listened to Dr. McQuilkin, and he reminded us again. He said three things are composed in saving faith. First of all, you are convinced with your mind that Jesus is Savior. You're convinced. It's a mind. Secondly, you are convicted in your heart that He died for you. The emotions come into play. Thirdly, it's a commitment of my will. I know my will is committed to Christ. That is what compromises or comprises, I should say, saving faith. So I hope this morning you'll understand and know saving faith. Secondly, though, victorious Christian living comes through surrender. through surrender. The gift of self. Romans 12, 1 and 2, we can all quote it. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. We present ourselves. Surrender is about giving oneself. Now, I understand, you understand, I come from a Wesleyan background. If you understand Keswick theology, which I have read more Keswick theology and more Wesleyan comparisons of theology over the last 6 months than I've ever done in my life, okay? Just so I could understand and know who we are at CIU. If I were to look at the Wesleyan perspective and the Keswick perspective and align them, in fact, this is said over and over, they agree 99%, 98%. Those quotes are mentioned over and over. But here's something they both agree to, is self has to be surrendered. Self has to be surrendered. If you look at what we teach, your ambitions, plans, dreams, everything must be surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And one doctrine, the Wesleyan might say, here's saving faith, and then there's a second experience whereby you are entirely sanctified, and there's the surrender of the will, and there's the filling of the Holy Spirit. One might say that, the Keswick view, not necessarily saying there's a second experience, although there's room. If you listen to Dr. McQuilkin, just as I did this weekend, you would find there is a place in some experiences where self is surrendered. Some say it happens when Jesus Christ is both your Savior and your Lord. When you are saved, others would say, as you begin to read and study, that there comes a point in time. I'm going to give you my experience, what happened. As a young man, 18 years old, I was a saved young man. I was going to vet school, is what God had called me to do. I felt that anyway. I'd prepared from the time of the eighth grade. I was a state future farmers of America. I was national crop judging champion, a state crops judging champion. I was eating and breathing future farmers of America. That was my organization. That's what I wanted to be. That's what I wanted to do. I started a little Angus cattle farm, had two cattle and grew it up to about 30 black Angus cattle. It's the way I paid my way through college the first year. Had about $12,000 when I sold those cattle and put myself through Bible college so I wouldn't have debt. Just farming was who I wanted to be. At 18 years old, I began to feel this gentle nudge of the Holy Spirit saying to me, Mark, will you give me everything? And that took a whole year. A battle. And I began to say, you mean my veterinary dreams? Yeah, your veterinary. You mean the ranch I had up here on the farm? Yes, your ranch. You mean those habits of sin in my life that I don't want to give up? Yes, Mark, that's what I mean. You mean those things in my life where I don't want to give up the pleasures of sin because I enjoy lust? You mean you want that, Lord? Yes, Mark, I want that. I want you to become like me. I want you to have all of me. I want you to hunger and thirst after me. And I went through this time of prayer. In fact, my wife and I have a little cabin we're building that we can go off to when it gets 100 degrees here in July. We're going to the cabin in Virginia in the mountains. And the rock, a huge rock where I would go pray as a teenager, as they were building that cabin, they took that rock out and preserved it. And it's right going to be at the entrance to where our cabin is. A landmark, a reminder. Something about that, Dr. Byers, in the Old Testament. But they took that out. The guy heard about my story, and he took his backhoe, and he took all that rock, and it's there. And that's the place where day after day I would go pray and surrender and surrender and surrender and surrender until the point I got up one night at our church. And I hadn't told my mother and father, although I'm sure they knew. I hadn't told my grandmothers who were in church. They knew, I'm sure. But in this battle, of surrendering. I stood up in front of the church and said, I won't be a veterinarian. God's asked for all of me. And I've surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And ever since then, Dr. Smith, was it all over then? Daily, I've surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Students, I want to challenge you. The only way to live victoriously, the only way to have a Christian life that's victorious, is to daily surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You can live a victorious Christian life. You can understand what it means to have victory in your lives. As a young man, I didn't know if I could, but I've learned by living in the Spirit and having the Word in my heart that victorious Christian living is a reality through surrender. It starts with salvation. It continues with surrender. It continues with a relationship. My wife and I have been married now over 30 years. I've enjoyed it. 18 years old, I was in the Bible college campus. I saw this lady coming across the campus and I thought, I think I'll check her out. So I got up the nerve and I walked over and I asked her to go to an event on campus with me. We were having Bob Jones movie night, I think, was what was going on at that night. That was pretty radical in those days to have Bob Jones movie night, if you understand. Some who are older understand what I'm talking about, okay? Sheffy was on play. Bob Sheffy. Anybody ever seen the movie of Sheffy? If you haven't, you need to see it. So we went to the movie. We got done with the movie. I came back and I said to her, I said, I enjoyed this evening. Would you like to go out again? And she said, I'll let you know. I said, okay, thank you. And I left. I left there in the next 3 weekends. I asked out 3 different girls. Guys, don't follow my pattern, okay? The girls are all going to be bad, okay? They're going to beat me up for this one, okay? I was like, there's more fish in the pond. You don't want me. There's some girl that does. Let's go, okay? That was my attitude. Well, this went on. She was playing her little game, okay? I'm out saying, okay, God's got some beautiful ladies out here for me. I'm going to marry one of them. It became Thanksgiving time, and it was at Thanksgiving time, we had a Thanksgiving banquet, and someone sent me a word, said, if you ask her out again, she'll go with you. And so I did. I asked her out again, and that started a relationship. Christmas time, we drove from Florida all the way to Pennsylvania, 22 hours together. See Mom, Dad. We started getting to know each other. You don't have to follow my example, but in February, I asked her to marry me. It's like short time, guys, okay? I was pretty focused. You can see I'm a pretty focused guy. I was focused then. And so I asked her, and here's what she said to me. She said, I'll let you know. She made me wait 30 days, girls, ladies. She did. She says, tell the rest of the story. When I asked her to marry me, here's what I said to her. I feel like God's calling me into ministry. If you and I get married, that means both of us. So please don't answer me tonight. I want you to take time and pray and know, because I don't know whether that means Africa. Everybody went to Africa back then. You remember that? Everybody went to Africa back then. I said, it may mean Africa. Or it may mean Kansas, or it may mean California. I don't know what it means, but I have given my heart to God in full surrender. And if we marry, I want a young lady who also understands that. And so a few weeks later, she said yes. I thought I knew my wife when I married her on the day of our wedding, and I looked at her and said, I love you. I didn't know my wife. But here's what for 31 years I've done. passionately pursue a relationship with that lady to learn how to love her. It's me running through the airports when I was flying, looking for the right kind of perfume. Jim was with me. We were in Germany and France. I'm like, surely France has this kind of perfume. I've been to every store. No one has the kind she likes. And no, I'm not telling you the name of it. That's between me and her, okay? But guys, let me give you a secret. I found out perfumeoutlet.com has it for half the price and you don't have to run anywhere. Why have I pursued her? Because I want to love her. I want to know her. And it is with my Savior as I close. It is with my Savior as I close. I want to know Him. Philippians 2, the kenosis passage. I want to know Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to know about His sufferings. I want to know Him in His depths. I surrender daily to Him to live this victorious Christian life. And thirdly, if you want to have all of God, I believe there's a concept where we're going to go through and serve Him, a life of service to Him. CIU, my life for the last 30-some years as Debbie and I've been in ministry, is about service. You're saved. You give up self to serve. I close with this illustration. My grandmother passed away just a few years ago. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, getting ready to go on the TV show, Hans, with Dr. Stan Toler, our beloved friend who just went to heaven. I was going to be on that TV show program to talk about the Word and some things that were associated he and I had connected on. And as I was there, I received a call from my father. He said, Mark, your grandmother's dying. Now, my grandmother's was 4 foot, under 5 foot, 4 foot, 10, 11, 90 pounds soaking wet. She had planted the church that I was raised in. She and three or four other ladies and a couple of gentlemen. And he said, Dad said, your grandmother's dying and she's talked to all the grandchildren and all the children. You're the last one. She wants to say something to you on the phone. And I could barely hear her, but I told her, I said, Grandma, I love you. I'll see you in heaven. You mean so much to me, Grandma. You've been such an example and inspiration to me. And I just want to let you know again, Grandma, I love you. And my grandmother, shortly after that, passed away. I was in my room. This is something that's not happened before or since. But I was in my room, and about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened with the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. And I just said to myself, wow, I think Grandma just crossed. Next morning, 6 o'clock, my dad calls and says, Grandma died last night. I said, Dad, don't tell me when. I'm going to tell you when it happened. Precious Holy Spirit was here as she was ushered by the angels into glory. He said, wow, you're right on. That's the time. I had the exact time. I told him, like 3:42. I forget. I don't have it written down now, but I told him. He said, you're right. That's when she passed. My grandmother never had a driver's license. Couldn't work out of the home. She made $392 a month in Social Security. Poor. The way she made it was she would babysit children. And so at 80 years old, she was still babysitting. 5-6 children in the home, and that's the only way she made a living. Grandma, tremendous example. She had asked me to speak at the funeral, so I got a flight out of Tulsa and got in about 2 or 3 in the morning and drove the 6 hours down, 7 hours down, and got there in time to speak for a funeral. And there was an hour when people were going around giving greetings to the family. And as I began to shake hands, it suddenly dawned on me what my grandmother had really been. She wasn't babysitting children. This family walked by and said, "Mark, we hadn't seen you in years. Let me tell you about Grandma. Grandma babysat me, but when I was 6 years old, Grandma led me to Jesus. And here's my wife, and here's the three kids, and we all go to such and such a church." And I'd shake hands with them, and the next one come up, "Mark, let me tell you about your grandma. When I was 12 years old, your grandma led me to Jesus." And I started counting. Here's a little lady who didn't even get out of her house. And we counted. And I asked at Christmas time this time again. I said, "Would I be overstating to say grandma led 150, 200 children, grandchildren that's now multiplied to Jesus?" And aunts and uncles said, "No, she did it. Every day babysitting them, serving Jesus, who she fell in love with. She fell in love with. Had a relationship with. I'm one of her preacher boys. She served." If I have one dream for every one of you, it's that you know Jesus, that you surrender self, and that you serve Him. This semester, I challenge you to go deep with Him. I challenge you to know Him. I challenge you to serve Him. Dr. Smith, when's the service start? Now. Now. I've asked that we just stand together, and I want to do something a little different, and I'm taking longer. Faculty, relax. We're doing God business right now, okay? You can do your God business later, but we're going to do this. I want every one of you to stand, and I want to ask you to do something for me this morning. As we end this morning, I would like as many as would be willing. This is not a pressure time. I do not believe in pressuring you into a walk with God. I don't believe that. There's a song that says, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give." This morning, I just want to call you as a student body as we begin this semester. Faculty, I want to call you. If you would be willing to have a prayer of surrender to God as we begin this semester, I just want you to fill in right across these front aisles. And Dr. Mary, I'd like for you to come pray for us, if you would, and lead us in this time. But I want every one of you to know this God that I know. Wow, I love Him. Just come forward. You guys aren't used to doing this. God likes quick obedience. Let's do this. Just step out. Faculty, you got to lead the way for me, okay, faculty? Let's go. Administrators, let's go. Let's surrender to God today. And we're going to surrender this whole semester, day after day, to Him.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.